these prospects that you have deserve to know that you exist. They deserve to know that there's a solution to a problem maybe that they even haven't been able to articulate very well. I always kind of come back to purpose, because what we're going to dive into, there's a lot of technical stuff here and it's not all fun.
Welcome to Data-Driven Selling by the Sales Insights Lab, the podcast that helps reps and business owners generate more meetings and close more sales at higher prices. Okay, so there have obviously been a lot of changes to cold outreach in the past couple of months. I'm here with our head coach of the Sales Insights Lab, Tiffany, and we are going to discuss changes to cold outreach. So what do you see going on out there, Tiffany?
You know, I think that in certain ways, it's just a great time to get very, very tactical about this. I think in general, we just don't want to be mediocre at anything anymore. The space for mediocrity in a lot of different things has just kind of the bottom's fallen out there. But what's great about that is that now our potential prospects have more bandwidth for strategies that are working, because so many other things are getting like mentally and technically filtered out.
Yeah. So let's actually talk about that. Because in fact, why don't we just start with the actual changes that we see happening, particularly with G Suite and Outlook. So many of us would be aware that G Suite has released a bunch of changes to filtering emails and Outlook. Microsoft is going to be obviously following suit. And we also see in general for emails, like open rates in general have certainly creeped down over the past couple of years. Whereas like you were saying, like a couple of years ago, you could just kind of essentially, you know, throw out a ton of spam and you'd still get opens and replies. Whereas now that stuff doesn't really work.
Exactly. And with that, like open rates are going down. There's a couple of technical reasons why, but I think at the end of the day, what we need to keep in mind, you know, because there's so many technical things that go into this. What drives me to create good outreach strategy is the fact that like these prospects that you have deserve to know that you exist. They deserve to know that there's a solution to a problem maybe that they even haven't been able to articulate very well. I always kind of come back to purpose, because what we're going to dive into, there's a lot of technical stuff here and it's not all fun. And we need to make sure that regardless of how we're approaching cold outreach, we give people the opportunity to get into these meaningful conversations with us.
Because like people are going to reply with mean stuff. I mean, even with good outreach, right? So like it's going to hurt our feelings. We're going to feel sad when someone says, you're spamming me, go away. Like even on good stuff, let alone the bad stuff. So you've got to be kind of committed to the process and to getting good at this. And so just on the technical side, because I do think it's worth, I think a lot of people are afraid of the G Suite changes. And I just think for the most part, what's cool about these changes is that like basically if you're doing best practices as we see them, like there's actually no tangible change. In fact, it's probably only going to help, because a lot of spammers are going to get shut down. So like the high level on what G Suite is changing is that if you send over 5,000 emails per day under one domain, you need to have under a 0.3% spam rate, which is essentially impossible to maintain. And so Gmail will essentially like block your domain from getting into Gmail inboxes. And that includes G Suite. But like 5,000 emails a day, like, whoa, that's a lot of email. Like that is really high volume. I mean, obviously, if you've got a whole team of people who are sending, a very large team who are sending under one domain, like to me, it's like my takeaway from this is like get better at lower volume anyways. And in order to get the types of replies that you want by doing some of the other stuff we're going to talk about. And so you're not even like being affected. In fact, you're only being positively impacted, because now like true spammers are being shut out.
Completely cut out. And it's kind of like, you know, you can thank Google for kind of dropping the bottom out of any of the, you know, dumb emails or dumb content that are coming across, which means that your prospect has more time to spend on good outreach. And cold outreach, I think a lot of people like confuse cold with low value. What we talk about here is very, very high value outreach. It's just that the prospect doesn't know that they needed it yet, or they don't know that this is going to be something that's going to be valuable for them yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually what that's it, is that cold outreach is simply cold. It's just that they don't know you. they haven't agreed to receive the message. They don't know who you are usually. And, but like, we're, if we're doing it well, like you're going to be getting replies that are like, yeah, let's have a, let's talk this. You got me, right? Like, I usually say no to this. I get a ton of emails like this, but I'm, you know, I'm responding to you. So let's talk about what cold outreach should look like in terms of the different channels. Cause I think obviously like we're focused on email, but like, let's talk about what you see in terms of channels and just kind of like overall what you would define as a cold outreach campaign.
Yeah, totally. So I think that this concept of value and kind of like pinning that to the wall is really important, because when you say that I've got something of value here for you, all of a sudden that opens you up to really considering a multi-channel approach. We're not just leaning on email as like, can I get away with this? Or can I just use this to get through to you? We want to approach our prospects in a multiple of different ways so that we demonstrate that we're not just seeing what we can get away with, but rather approaching them with the driven insistency of somebody that's like, I have something that's really going to be interesting for you to look at here.
I think also, you know, touching people on multiple channels, particularly things like email, phone, social media, depending on like which platforms your prospects are on. Like, we don't know where your prospects are. And so I think the challenge with single channel platform outreach is like, I was talking to someone the other day who just does LinkedIn outreach. And she was like, basically like, what do you think of that? And, you know, my initial response is like, there's nothing wrong with just doing LinkedIn outreach, of course. But the problem is that like, we don't know where the prospect is going to be. And of course, the problem with LinkedIn is that like LinkedIn only has about 24 to 50 million active users who are like posting on a monthly basis. Like, you can easily sort for that. You can see. So like the reality is that like a lot of your prospects, even if they have a LinkedIn profile, are not active on LinkedIn. So like if you're just using LinkedIn, like you're going to be sending a bunch of messages to someone that's not even on it. So I think, you know, getting people, we don't know where we're going to get them. So like, imagine if you're, if you needed to get a message in front of a single individual, like what would you do? You would like, imagine if it was like a life-saving message, like they have a curable disease that if you can get in touch with them in 24 hours, like you would call, you would email, you would send, use every social media platform. You'd show up at their house, at their off, like, of course, we're not going to be showing up at people's houses, but like, you don't know. And so I think that's one of the keys of multi-channel, besides also just the fact that like what you were saying, which is that it also is demonstrating that there's like a real intentional process here where it, I think it just more humanizes you if they've gotten an email, they've gotten a phone call or some phone calls, they've LinkedIn outreaches or leveraged other social platforms. It's like, it just starts to feel, even if they don't respond right away, they're starting to kind of get a picture of who you are.
Yeah. And I think that's such a big part of cold prospecting, which is just because you send one email and you do not get a response does not mean that the game is over, right? Like, you don't, you know, take your ball and go home and cry because they haven't done that. And I remember being in that space where I didn't understand the importance of a multi-step process or multi-channel as well. So if they don't, you know, there's a pretty good chance they saw your email and you can move on to other channels, things like a phone call. And even if you have to leave a voicemail, these are all these quiet ways that you're letting them know that you exist, that you've got something important to discuss. And it may be a few steps in before you get some semblance of like, okay, like, yeah, I'll be willing to talk. But, you know, goodness, at least you didn't leave them to their own devices to kind of sit in this contemplative like, okay, this looks interesting, but I don't have enough energy or don't have enough momentum to respond to it yet.
And I think the other thing, I don't want to spend too much time on just multi-channel, but I do think it's really powerful because multi-channel also allows you to create context for why you're reaching out on the other channels. So it's like, let's just talk about a phone call, right? It's like a traditional cold call is like, you're literally like, we might try to like say something cheeky to try to create context for the call. But like, if you already sent them an email, then like, you're now creating a reason for why you've called. And I think that really dramatically improves the effectiveness of the call by having sent an email. Even if they didn't even see the email, obviously if they saw the email, great. But if they didn't, that's still okay. Cause it's like something along the lines of, you know, George, I just shot you an email. Did you see it come through? And whether they say yes or no, doesn't matter. But now it's like, it's creating an entree into at least 30 seconds of the conversation that is harder to get if you just are making a pure cold call. So let's talk about, you know, the next piece here, as you see it critical to cold outreach.
in terms of, we have the multi-channel and the multi-step, right? Those two are super, super important. And then having an intention for each step, I just want to touch on that, is super critical, because it's not okay to just be like, I sent you an email and now everything else that I talk about is the email that I sent you. It kind of puts the emphasis on the wrong thing. And you want to emphasize the value that they're getting out of it, the what they're physically going to get out in terms of like some kind of something that's high value to them, right? And when you focus on something that's not high value to them, then you have this pivot point that you can kind of approach all of those different steps where you're kind of referencing back to it, but then maybe you're sending them something that is contextual to that high value offering that you have. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to work it so that the overall steps of what you're walking them through, regardless of where they are and how many, you know, emails they've opened, makes sense to them if they're looking at it as an entire map.
Yeah, there's nothing more annoying. I hate like the pure bump email. I mean, we get them all the time. Anyone who receives cold emails has received them, which is basically like, hey, Tiffany, did you see the last email I sent? And it's like, I actually got a bump the other day that was just like question mark. And it was like, whoa, like, dude, come on. Like, there's no value. And it's like, and what, like, to your point, it's focusing on the wrong thing. It's not even focusing on value. It's just, it's now we're kind of creating a context like where it's about the email that was sent that I didn't read. And it's like, it's just super low value.
Or the still trying to connect with you, still this, still that. And it's just like, that puts the emphasis so much on what the salesperson is experiencing instead of what the prospect is going to get out of it. And I think that trend towards the salesperson's perspective really betrays like what the salesperson is thinking, which is I want a sale out of it, versus what we talk about with solid sales strategy with the sales insights method, which is I'm looking to see if this is really a prospect during this earlier part of the conversation. Are they really a prospect? Are they having, you know, are they going to respond to something that's high value that relates to my solutions?
So let's start to talk about, because I think we've hinted at it, let's talk about the offer, because I think that's so key in outreach is like, and I'll set the stage for it and you can kind of work off that. But like, I think that with outreach, like people don't want to get on to a call or a Zoom with a salesperson. Like that's just like, no one wants that. No one's bored. And if there is someone, like we don't want to be on a Zoom with them anyways. So it's like, we need to have an offer in our outreach, whether it's email, call, social, whatever, that is like actually compelling. That's going to get me to think like, okay, yeah, this is compelling. I'm happy to hop on to have a conversation in which I'm likely to be, someone's going to try to sell to me.
So that concept of being compelling is in and of itself a really useful exercise to think about things from your prospect's perspective. What would they find so interesting that they would want to, presuming everyone's busy, that they would want to take time out of their day to go over it or to discuss it with you? And the process of creating that, stepping into their shoes, gives you that insight that makes you feel like, oh, now I understand how they're seeing their challenges more because I've thought through this process.
Yeah. And I think like what we can say is like, chances are it's not a demo of your software. I mean, even a free trial, there's cases where like giving them something free is valuable, but like a free trial for software is not the thing. So it's like, what's the thing that you can offer to them in terms of how you're packaging it? I think, cause like we always talk about it in the lab, like how you kind of present your call to action is so important, because it's like, ultimately it could just be a call in which we're going through and asking some questions, but like, we've got to present it in a way that really is like, it's just like so compelling that they're just like, yeah. I was talking to someone who was in, we were talking about this the other day in our coaching meeting. Like if you're in recruiting, right? Like what's the thing that you can share with them that like, cause like there's a million recruiters, right? So like, what's the thing that you can share with them that's so compelling that they're willing to be like, yes, I'm willing to get on a call with someone that I don't know to talk about recruiting, which like I've already got recruiters, right? Everyone always has recruiters. So it's like, or like if I'm in insurance, like what's the thing that you can offer them that's going to get them to like actually want to engage with an insurance broker? Or if you're in a marketing agency, like what's the thing? And so it's got to be something that like is really of high perceived value. And yeah, maybe it takes a little bit of work on your part to like actually put together, but like it's worth it if you can get on the phone with the right person.
And then, you know, going back to that space of like, what doesn't work, right? Like discovery conversations doesn't work. Demos also just carry this burden of like low value stuff. Or a call even, like want to jump on a 15-minute call. Like if you're not expressing to them what they're going to get out of that call, then there's no purpose. And you have to understand that your prospects have had a lot of experiences with really bad salespeople before. So they've gone through a discovery with somebody and it's been terrible. They've gone through a demo with somebody and they haven't seen the benefit of the software. Or they've been on a call with somebody and it hasn't gone anywhere, which is why we have to flip the script and come up with a frame for what's going to happen that just doesn't carry the burden of all of these other kind of low value concepts into the sales conversation. It demonstrates insight when we have that high value offering for the prospecting. It demonstrates insight. And then it also lets you move into this space of being the trusted advisor that's going to ask questions in order to get to that, whatever you're going to discuss with them or whatever value they're going to get out of it.
100%. That's really key. So let's talk about the last piece that I want to talk about, and maybe you have some other things, but just around personalization, because I think like this is the, we're really entering into really kind of uncharted territory in outreach where nowadays like machines can actually do decent levels of personalization. It's clunky still, but like, so I think getting really good, relevant personalization in your outreach that just kind of demonstrates that you understand who they are, what their industry is, what their roles are, like what matters to them, I think is so important. So like, what are your initial thoughts on just like really the difference between good personalization and let's say ineffective personalization?
Yeah. So I'll just kick it off by saying it's not a billboard, it's a postcard or a letter, right? Like you have to keep in mind how this is going out and how it's going to be received by people. And it is so easy to tell. I mean, I get a lot of spam and I got a lot of cold email, and it is so transparent when it was written as a billboard and then stamped onto a postcard, right? There's like no personalization. Sometimes these people, they haven't cleaned their list very well because they're offering me something I do. And I'm just like, you missed a lot. Right. So we want to make sure that these elements, there's so much data out there that we can get to help our emails look really custom. You know, we want to start out from that postcard look, right? We want to start out like we're writing it one person to one person, and then figure out what are the things that we can customize about what we've created to then use it as a template for larger volumes of email down the road. But at the end of the day, when you're writing emails, when you're creating these different touch points and the scripts there, you have to remember that sales is not a one-to-many, or at least not openly a one-to-many type of thing. We want that prospect to feel like this was created for them.
Right on. And again, we always talk about this in the Lab Accelerator program, but like there's really two ways, and I've spent a lot of time recently just really enjoying the concept of the latter way to personalize. So there's two ways to personalize an email or an outreach. One is through what we'd call like field personalization, which is like really having like a specific field, like first name, title, company name, industry, stuff like that. The other though is just through segmentation. So where you're basically sending essentially the same email or the same message to list of people, but because there's such a tight and narrow list, you can send essentially the same message and they still get it. And they're like, whoa, this was really for me. And obviously you've got to do a blend of the two, but like segmentation, like how we're actually segmenting our list and kind of narrowing down is so key. So like, just as an example, like if you want to reach out to a group of marketing agencies in America with more than one employee, at least, let's say. So there's probably like 25,000 marketing agencies in the US. So now it's like, how do we want to segment that list? Like, who do we want to reach out to? Okay, the CEO, and we want to work with marketing agencies that use HubSpot or that sell into the medical device space or that. And it's like the more we start to slice and dice that list, we go from 25 to 30,000 CEOs down to 500 or 1,000. And if you kind of cut it down in a way that's really relevant, you can actually send like a pretty standardized email. Of course, you got to personalize fields with some of the right things, but like you can send the same message and they're like, whoa, this was really written for me.
Exactly. Because it's speaking to, you're able to speak to the concerns that that particular segment has and how they're experiencing the concerns that you solve. And, you know, it's important to note, like everybody thinks of themselves as being, you know, with your prospects, they think of it as like it's just me going through this. So the ability to come to them and to say like, well, we're seeing a lot of this right now. Are you seeing that as well? And a lot of them are just like, oh my gosh, yes. Thank you so much for mentioning that. And that's where everything resonates really well.
Awesome. Any final words on cold outreach in general?
I think just keep in mind that your prospects deserve to know that there is an option, there's a solution like yours. Go into it with that mindset, and that's going to help you to go through this, all of the work of refining this and making sure that you're sticking with your high value call to action and developing these different campaigns so that they land and resonate really well.
And I think the only thing I would add to that is like the changes that are happening in cold outreach are real, but they're really affecting the people that are doing the spray and pray approach, like the really broad kind of, not necessarily spammers, although certainly spammers, but like people that are just like sending 10,000 emails a day to a really broad list. What I'm interested in is like, how can you get that list really narrow and make sure that it like really resonates with that group? And so that's what I think is really key for cold outreach moving forward. Tiffany, this was awesome. And let's see some more great cold outreach moving forward this year.
Thanks for listening. Want more tactical advice on selling? Register for our free video training on the 5-step formula to closing more deals without price pushback, think it overs, or ghosting. Simply visit closing.training to get instant access. That's closing.training to get instant access.